Often the Lord allows catastrophes and calamities to wake us up and to get our attention. And if you're a true believer, he's going to do that because he disciplines the ones he loves. But he also allows calamities to come upon people, as we will see, to wake them up, hopefully, to understand their sinfulness.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Well, Greg, as we begin this new series in the book of Jonah, tell us what we'll be learning today.
Well, Dave, today and for the next couple of days, we're going to be getting an overview of this wonderful book of Jonah. We're going to be looking at the big picture, when the book was written, who Jonah was, who were the other people involved in the book, and we're going to get a pretty good look into Jonah's life, and I believe we're going to see how it may be a reflection of how we live our lives. It's really an amazing book. So with that in mind, if you have a Bible handy, turn with us to the book of Jonah.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
One of the things that I did when I was a pilot was I would study airline crashes, not for morbid interest, but for seeing what might be done differently so that I might be a better pilot in case I was brought into the same type of situations. And many of you know, if you don't know, you'll find out that that U.S. airplane that crashed this last week, those people on there came within an inch or a centimeter of losing their lives. As a pilot, I know that was truly a miracle. I mean, there's the cliches on TV, you know, the miracle in the Hudson. Well, it really truly was a miracle. That was amazing that that plane didn't break up and go down right away, and many people would have died. Or if it would have been at a different time, they would have full fuel gone into the city. Those people were brought to the inch of death, just to the closeness of dying. And some of them realize it. I mean, you see their interviews on TV, and some of them don't seem to realize it, which is kind of sad. If you noticed in the beginning, the very first news reports that came out, people were saying everyone was praying. And then as more people talked, the prayer talks kind of subsided. And now it's more about how lucky we were and things like that. But why do I bring this up? Because God is gracious and he spared their lives. He could have allowed them to perish very easily and he spared their lives. And often the Lord allows catastrophes and calamities to wake us up and to get our attention. And if you're a true believer, he's going to do that because he disciplines the ones he loves. But he also allows calamities to come upon people, as we will see, to wake them up, hopefully, to understand their sinfulness and their need for a Savior. Now today we're beginning a series in the book of Jonah, and I'm thoroughly excited because what we see is because of Jonah's sin, a calamity brought upon him and upon a group of sailors. And we see all of them brought to within an inch of their life being taken. And we see what God does in the midst of this with a prodigal prophet and a group of pagan sailors. But beyond that, there are so many wonderful truths in the book of Jonah. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Jonah today, and I think we need to recognize we deserve God's wrath. We deserve that, but God was gracious and poured it out, and he is giving you time just as he gave Jonah and he gave the sailors time to acknowledge the living God. So we're going to be looking at the book of Jonah for the next few weeks, Lord willing. So if you turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah, and we made a decision with the children's ministry to keep the older kids in here because I believe so often all children know about the book of Jonah is a big fish. That's all they remember. And often there are those of us that all that we think about is a big fish. But even non-believers, if you ask them about the book of Jonah, that's probably what they're going to share. And that's true. There is a big fish in Jonah. But that's not what the book is about. The book is not about a big fish. As we're going to see, the book is about a compassionate God. And about a prophet who is so unlike God. And I believe as we go through the book of Jonah, we're going to see maybe where we are unlike God. where God might be working in our hearts. First of all, you may not be saved. You may be like those Phoenician sailors, that God may be knocking on your heart through His Word. Or you may be like Jonah. You may know what God says and you may be deliberately disobeying, and I guarantee God will bring storms in your life because His Word says He will discipline the ones He loves. And it's my prayer as we go through the book of Jonah that we discover from the Word of God how we are unlike God, so that we can confess that and become by His power and strength more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to begin our study in the book of Jonah. Now, I'm thoroughly excited about the study I've done so far in the book of Jonah. It's wonderful. As I've shared just briefly, it is so much more than a big fish story. And today we're going to take an overview. We're going to first of all look at the historical context. You'll see on your notes a little portion for that. Then we're going to go to the backside of your notes and we're going to go through the book of Jonah together, verse by verse, on a broad overview. And then we're going to come back and finish our time together and look at Jonah, who he is, in light of the Word of God. And it's my prayer that this look at Jonah today might convict us if we are like him, and that we might humbly come before the Lord God and repent of our sin, be corrected and changed, and made more like Christ. Okay, so first of all, let's get started and look at the context of the book of Jonah. And when we start a book, we really need to know the context. And this one is really rooted in history, and so we really need to look at it. We're not going to stay there because most of the history is not the Word of God, but the history we get from the Word of God can edify and build us up. But we're going to move on from that history to the actual text. But first of all, we're going to take a look at the historicity of Jonah. Now, there are all sorts of ideas concerning the book of Jonah. There are many unbelievers and many make-believers. More specifically, those unbelieving scholars who appear on PBS and the History Channel, who, being devoid of the Spirit of God, interpret the Word of God via their own wisdom, and ultimately, because they're unsaved, and deceitfully say in arrogant fashion, it is too fanciful to be a true story. Now, there are others who see it as an allegory. They say, yes, it's God's Word. It conveys spiritual truth. Maybe it's a parable. It gives us good biblical information. But I believe we'll see today from the Word of God that these also are in serious error. And a very serious error, because when they declare these things, they are messing with the Word of God. And I believe we're going to see today from the Word of God that this is a true story. And it was intended by the Spirit of God to reveal a true story. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1. The word of the Lord, and for you kids, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Go find Obadiah, find Micah, go around those small prophets there. The book of Jonah, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, we're going to see that a lot here, but Jonah, and we need to think about it for us, but you, but I, when we hear the word of God, how do we respond? But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. We're going to look more in depth at this next week as we look at this first chapter next week. But I want to talk about the historicity of Jonah. This book starts out with the phrase, the word of the Lord came to. And we have that also in chapter 3, verse 1, when it comes to him again, when he finally is turned enough to desire to be obedient, at least reluctantly, I believe. The word of the Lord. It's a standard phrase used by God when he is speaking to his servants and prophets. The word of the Lord came to. It's used over 90 times in the Old Testament. And an interesting note, this phrase is never used in the context of a parable or a metaphor. It is always used in the context of reality when God is speaking to a prophet or servant and declaring his word to them. That's the first clue, I believe, that shows us that Jonah is real. Jonah is not a parable. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Real-time events. And certainly, as you read through Jonah, besides the supernatural storm and the big fish and the plant and the worm, it really does lay forth as a factual story, right? It really does. Now, it's important to note that Scripture affirms in other places that Jonah was a real prophet. And you can turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 14. And we're going to look at two verses there. And this is speaking of Jeroboam the second, the king. And you certainly don't want this said about you, but he starts out this way. And God doesn't miss a beat, by the way. 2 Kings 14:24, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that's Jeroboam the first, which he made Israel sin. Not a good thing to be causing other people to sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord. The Lord God of Israel, whom he spoke through, here we go, his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was of Gath-Hepher. Jonah was a real guy. But some would say, okay, Jonah's a real guy, but this is still a metaphor, it's still a story. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 38 to 41. And this is when some scribes and Pharisees come to Jesus and they want signs. They want him to perform stuff and do things. Jews search for a sign. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Boy, sounds like a lot of church services these days. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet." Now he's going to explain about Jonah the prophet. "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jonah is a type, an illustration of what Christ would be in his death in the ground. And now here we have the factual account from the Lord Jesus Christ. "The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it." Now there's a judgment, by the way, and the men of Nineveh are going to stand up at this judgment and condemn it. Why? "Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Christ himself was there. Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, the Lord God, the Son of God, the Christ, says that Jonah is an actual true event. He declares the men of Nineveh repenting will stand up at the judgment at the preaching of Jonah. Matthew chapter 16, I'll just share this. He says it again to them. "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign," 16:4, "and a sign will not be given to it except the sign of Jonah." They want signs and wonders, but the sign that you're going to see is that Christ dies and raises from the dead. That's the most important thing. Then we have a parallel passage in Luke chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's really parallel to what we saw in Matthew. Luke chapter 11, verse 32. He says, "The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." We see the same thing. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, declared the truth of Jonah not to be a metaphor, not to be some type of parable, but to be the absolute truth. It is a true story. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jesus mentions the whale. He mentions the preaching of Jonah. He mentions the repentance of the Ninevites, who will stand up in the judgment against the wicked Pharisees who rejected Christ. And now I tell you right now, if after reading, maybe you've never read it, after reading Matthew and Luke and hearing the Lord Jesus himself declaring the historicity of Jonah, if you, like the unbelieving scholars who know those passages, do not believe it is true, I would ask you to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. I would ask you to examine yourself to see if you're really saved. And I'll tell you why. After hearing the Lord Jesus' words, if you don't believe it's true, I don't believe you're saved. And I say that not because of my own wisdom, but because of the Word of God. John chapter 10, verse 24. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered and said to them, "I told you, and you would not believe." The issue is faith. "The works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but you do not believe." And here's why. "Because you are not of my sheep." If you've heard the truth from Christ concerning Jonah and you don't believe it, I would examine yourself. He goes on. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Well, that's true. We see that the Lord's sheep hear his voice. And when someone says, "I don't believe Genesis, I don't believe this," now I'm not saying they don't understand, that's different. "I don't believe this," then I immediately think about sharing the gospel with them because that's what they need. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle John, speaking of the apostles, those who felt and touched the Lord Jesus and were in his presence. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, "We are from God, the apostles. He who knows God listens to us." Luke, Matthew, John, those apostles, Paul, those ones who wrote the Word of God, "He who knows God listens to us." They wrote the Word of God, foundation of the church, apostles and prophets. And he says, "He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." If you don't believe the Word of God, you're not from God. That's because you can't understand it, because your heart hasn't been changed. And so I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe Jonah is true, you are going against the Word of Christ. And I would examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. I really would. That's a test. If you keep saying, "Well, I just can't believe it." Folks, I would examine your heart. And God's a good God. And I believe as we go through the Word of God in Jonah, he's going to convict your heart concerning your state and convict our hearts concerning our walk with the Lord. So I believe absolutely 100% that Jonah is a true account, a true story that we're going to see relayed for us. And it is a blessing, and it will be a wonderful blessing to go through it. It's not a parable. It's not a metaphor. And those who say so are wrong. And those who say so, I believe, are not saved by Jesus' words. Okay, so the historicity of Jonah. Secondly, Israel at the time of Jonah. We're going to look at the nation of Israel. We need to know how Israel got to this point in this nation's history. And I want to give you a little overview of Israel and how they got to this point in Jonah. And I'm going to start back a little bit. In Genesis, God created Adam and Eve. That's how far back I'm going to go. And in his own image, he created them, and they were blessed. But Adam sinned, disobeying God, listening to the voice of his deceived wife, and sin entered into the human race. And man lost God's blessing and now lives in the midst of a cursed world, going back to the ground in death. But God always had a plan to redeem and restore mankind, and it would be through Eve's seed, Jesus Christ, that Satan and sin would be crushed forever. And in Genesis, we see this plan taking shape as God calls Abraham and makes an everlasting covenant with him, revealing the gospel through him, that through his seed, singular, or his descendant, all the nations would be blessed. It is through Christ that blessing would come back in. I'm not talking about car blessing or, you know, airplane blessing or stuff blessing. I'm talking about a relationship with the living God. And as we follow his descendants, Abraham's descendants, Isaac, then Jacob, renamed Israel, we see the nation of Israel born in his sons. And God sovereignly fulfills his word to Abraham, bringing Jacob and Joseph's brothers to Egypt. There they would multiply and be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Now at this point, I want to share a few things in a brief timeline from that point. In 1445 BC, after about 400 years or so of oppression, we have the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. And at Sinai in the desert, God made a conditional covenant with Israel, giving them the law. Then there were 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief, the events at Kadesh Barnea, where that first generation did not believe God, and God disciplined them to death in the desert. Then in 1405 BC on the plains of Moab, Moses reinstates the law, Deuteronomy, second law, Deuteronomos. And we see in chapter 28 through 30, the covenant blessings and cursings declared. Blessings if Israel would obey. Cursing if they did not obey. Now it's important to note, Moses made it clear that Israel would be severely disciplined and expelled from the land if they disobeyed God, that promised land. And this was the rallying cry of the prophets before the exile. Repent or you will be judged. Now after Moses died, Joshua was commissioned and the Lord led the 45-year conquest of the land through Joshua. And it is here we see that the Israelites did not fully obey the Lord, the first point. They did not drive out the inhabitants of the land completely. And Judges reveals that this sin led to their ever-sinning spiral, as everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Around 1095 BC, in 1 Samuel 8, reveals that Israel continued to sin as they demanded a king, thus rejecting the Lord as their king. And God gives them their desire, and they get Saul. And this begins a 490-year kingdom period, a period in which David would follow Saul as king, and God would make an everlasting covenant with David in 2 Samuel 7. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. That covenant that is fulfilled in Christ as the king. Now David's son Solomon became king. And because David's hands were bloody, Solomon built a splendid house for the Lord, the temple. Yet Solomon sinned and went after many women and followed their gods, 1 Kings 11. And because of Solomon's sin, after he died, God divided the kingdom, northern and southern. The northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. 2 kingdoms. And every scripture concerning the northern kingdom reveals all their kings were wicked. The northern kingdom called Israel, southern kingdom called Judah.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who may know the story as Jonah and the whale, but not much more, how can they get the most from this series?
The best way to get the most out of this book is to prayerfully and humbly read the book of Jonah for yourself. It's a really short book. It's just 4 chapters long, and it might take you 15 minutes max, but I guarantee those are 15 minutes that are really well served and will bless you. And so with that said, as you read through the book of Jonah, I would encourage you just to read from start to finish all the way through, praying for the Lord to give you wisdom and understanding into his word. Don't stop.
Just keep reading through it. And if you'll do that, I believe you're going to gain new understanding from God's word concerning the book of Jonah, and you're going to discover it has a lot to say to you. God's word is living and active. It is powerful, and the Lord wants to speak to you through his word. So start today, ask God to reveal his truth to you, and then dig into this amazing book of Jonah.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Yeah.